With us in the studio now is fitness expert and personal trainer Scott Roberts. He's an online fat loss coach based in Marbella, working with clients all over the world. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, no problem. Nice to see you. So tell us a little bit about you and your background and how you got into doing what you do.
Okay, great. So my background was actually in construction. Lived in Marbella previously. We had a construction business in Gibraltar. Mm-hmm. Honestly, that went terribly wrong. And that led me down to the path of being a personal trainer. It's something I'd been interested in for a long, long time. I'd always gone to the gym, got a background in playing rugby. So I was quite sporty, but needed to take my career in business into an area that I had a passion for. That was personal training. So that took me back to the UK. We actually moved to Manchester for a few years, and we've been back here in Marbella about 3 years now, just over 3 years. That has taken my business mainly online. So the majority of my clients, probably 80-90% of my clients, are still in the UK.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you'd assume with personal training, it's all about like being with the person. So it's amazing how much it's taken off the online stuff.
Yeah, so obviously the lockdown and restrictions help that. I understand people can't really get their head around the fact that people are employing personal trainers but not actually seeing them. Now, during the lockdown, people were doing like live Zoom sessions and things like that. That's not actually what I provide. Our main focus is everything away from the exercise, so that I still provide them with workouts and training. But my client base is mainly weight loss and fat loss based clients. So their focus is where their focus needs to be, is the nutrition side of things. So we're working on their food relationships, their eating habits, all the things behind the scenes that has caused them to be where they are now, whether it's physical or mental pain. And this can go back for years, and that's where all our education, it's more like online mentoring rather than here's some training and off you go.
And do you find that there's a lot of kind of misconceptions about nutrition and diet and things? People are thinking they're doing it right, but actually they're not.
Massively. And I think a lot of that is actually the industry's fault. There's a lot of mixed messages, conflicting messages, and it's leaving people confused more than anything. And when people are confused, they're just not starting. So rather than making some simple changes that will help them from not just a weight loss point of view, but from an overall health point of view, they're that confused that they're not doing anything. And obviously, when you don't do anything, you stay still or potentially go backwards, and your situation gets worse.
Are there kind of typical things that people are getting wrong? I mean, I guess obviously all your clients are going to be very different and in different situations, but do you find a lot of the things that, and kind of mistakes keep repeating themselves?
Yeah, I think one of the main ones is people have this all or nothing approach to dieting. They feel like they need to be 100% good. People have this good and bad mentality, or on and off dieting, and if they're not 100%, they're nothing. And in the real world, when people have families and lives and jobs, this 100% approach never actually works, because we're dealing with humans. So rather than trying to be 70 or 80% consistently week after week, month after month, which will actually get the results, people try to be 100% over restrictive, probably under eat and over train, and obviously that can only last a few days, at best a few weeks, and more often than not they just give up. And then they try that maybe year after year, and it leads to them getting disheartened. And again, when people are disheartened, they don't want to start, they don't want to make changes through fear, fear of failing again. And like I said, it prevents people from doing the basics, which are easier than people actually realize. They don't focus on them things because of all this.
So something I've noticed following you on social media, you obviously enjoy your food, which we have in common.
Quite a bit.
You like going out and everything. And you're saying that it is still possible to do that. You don't need to make yourself feel guilty for going out and having a burger, drinking some wine. You are allowed to still do those things and enjoy them.
And I think it's important that people realise that. A large part of my job is proving to people when they come to me that they can make progress, whether it's to fit into a certain dress size or some jeans, or if they want to get abs when they're on the beach in the summer, that can be achieved by having a normal lifestyle. Mm. So drinking alcohol, going out for meals, social occasions, takeaways, and educating them on how to do that. Because that is real life for most normal people. Mm. Like most people listening to this now will like going out, whether it's for a meal, having a takeaway. And it's important that, like I said, they realize that they can still make progress and maintain that progress as well without feeling guilty. Mm. I think that's the most important thing. People, if we go back to this all or nothing approach, they try to avoid certain things. So whether it's they try to avoid alcohol, try to avoid chocolate, they say they're not going to go out, but then the next week a work night out comes round, or someone rings up and says, look, we're going out, come down. They then suddenly feel guilty for doing that. They feel like they've failed and they give up. Mm. Rather than understanding, right, if I just make some adjustments here over the week, or if I just make some better choices when I am out, it's not going to derail their progress. It's not going to lead to them feeling guilty and feel like they've failed, and they continue to continue to make weekly progress.
Mm. Brilliant. So do you have a typical client, or are they really all very different?
I have quite a varied range, but at the moment, and I think it's probably due to my marketing, it's very female heavy. Mm-hmm. Parents, mums that, again, are trying to juggle real life. So yeah. They're trying to not just juggle social occasions, but a lot of the mums will be working mums. And obviously they've got to fit this around their kids and all the struggles that that can bring up as well.
Mm. And you've become a parent recently,
I have,
you?
Yes. So I can...
So you can relate.
Yes, very much so. Because yesterday... Well, it's everything we've just spoken about. We went out for a few drinks on the beach. We went for a Sunday roast. I've had about 2 hours sleep because the baby kept me up. So, I'm sorry if I got bags under my eyes, but yeah, it just shows that it can be done. Mm. And yes, I know I'm a fitness professional. I should be in shape. I should be able to juggle all this. But it also allows me to relate to my clients as well.
Mm, definitely. And sleep is an interesting thing, isn't it? Because sleep is key to a lot of things. And so, I mean, that's obviously had an impact on you not getting as much sleep. Have you found that really difficult?
Yes. Luckily, we're okay. My daughter's 5 months old and she's good. But if we look at it from a controlling your cravings and eating habits, when we're tired, we're a lot more emotional. Mm. We don't think about things as logically as we maybe should. So when we're in that mental state, more often than not, we end up making bad decisions. So we end up picking at food we probably know we shouldn't be. We end up maybe ordering a takeaway when we know probably better off cooking a meal. And we probably take comfort in food as well, and all that comes down to being tired and not really managing our mental state as much as we should be doing.
Mm. So the key is it when you're saying that you can enjoy those things and just adjust things differently, if you do end up getting a takeaway or going out drinking alcohol, things like that, is it just being aware, okay, I'm gonna be better for the next few days or something?
Yeah, so you can look at it from a few different angles. If you're just going out for a meal and you just want to take that meal in isolation, just have a look at the menu beforehand and maybe make a decision on what is going to be the lowest calorie option. So a simple rule to follow would be a large portion of protein and lots of vegetables.
Mm.
And obviously just have one dish rather than three courses.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be obviously some form of fish and vegetables, a steak and vegetables or something like that. If you're going out on a bigger event and you really want to enjoy it, so you want some alcohol, you want a couple of courses, then it's a case of saving some calories over the course of the week, maybe.
Mm.
So just drop in maybe a snack from your day. Let's say the event is on a Saturday. Just drop in some calories Monday to Friday. So taking out a couple of snacks you may be eating, just reducing the portion size of some of your meals. So rather than maybe... Everyone will maybe think you've got a daily calorie allowance. If you look at it over the course of the week, You can then borrow calories from certain days to then have on another day where that bigger meal may be.
Okay. So do you think calorie counting works then? Is that a good kind of thing to...
It certainly works, but people... When you talk about calories and calorie intake and controlling calories, people then automatically think counting calories because it's very popular at the moment. You know, loads of people have got my fitness pal on their phone. You don't need to count calories. But what it is there as is you've got all the data in front of you. It then becomes a numbers game. Mm. So as long as you're being honest and actually logging the food you're eating, because a big mistake people make with counting calories is... Again, they feel guilty for eating certain foods. So they may have a Mars bar as an example, feel guilty and not log it. Now, the key is just log it because then you've got the numbers in front of you.
Yeah.
So it's an educational tool because people that are not in the industry are obviously lacking a certain amount of knowledge, and that's completely fine. Using MyFitnessPal as an example will give you the knowledge of what foods have what calories in. So some people may be thinking they're having a very healthy meal, but could be quite calorific. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize that until you start seeing the numbers. So, you know, things like adding olive oil to your cooking. It can easily be adding, especially if it's a Jamie Oliver style drizzle, it could easily be 200 or 300 calories.
Wow.
So it's one of the things I always stress with clients is if they're writing a food diary, they could be reporting a chicken salad. Now, that chicken salad could be a chicken breast and some lettuce, 200 calories, 250 calories. But then if that chicken salad has olives, nuts, cheese, certain dressings, mayonnaise, olive oil, yeah, mayonnaise, you've turned a 250 chicken and lettuce into 1,000 calories.
Mm.
In your head, you're eating healthy and being good.
It's a salad. So yeah.
So, yeah, in your head, you're being healthy, you're eating good. But in reality, you've probably eaten more than a Big Mac meal without realising.
Wow. Interesting.
Heartbreaking, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. Well, it's such a fascinating subject. It'll be great to have you back so we can talk more on it. If people want more information on you and want to get in touch and things, you've got a website, haven't you?
Yes, my website is scottrobertsfitness.co.uk, and social media-wise, probably my Instagram at scottrobertsfitness. Give me a follow, drop me a message. I'll be happy to help.
Perfect. Brilliant. Thanks so much, Scott. Hope to see you again.